Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Spilling Guts Podcast. You are listening to Eminem tribute act, Luke Bradley. That's the kind of vibe I feel like I look like right now, like 8 Mile.
Yeah, and I'm just the white t-shirt wearing version of him. I'm Jack Carlin, bitch. We look like a checkerboard.
I was going to say checkerboard chicks.
Checkerboard chicks. Checkerboard chicks with dicks. I've been saving this to speak to you. Of course, I went doing some digging today because mm-hmm. I was like really curious when the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre was coming out. I'm like really curious.
The one that's like basically copying Halloween
2018, yeah, okay. Yeah, where it has like old man Leatherface and Sally's sure. coming back, blah blah blah, all that bullshit. And I was just really curious because like there's been no real talk of it. And they'll release news and be like, oh, it's an old man Leatherface. We're like, we know. We've known this for yeah. like 2 years. So I had a little Google.
Diggery-doo.
And then I found this article that said it was like test screenings have been done for the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre and they are bad. Like, yeah, I know they're like bad, and the like majority of the people that came out of it were like, this is not good. And then they're like, you can find the full video link here. So I clicked on the video link, and he's yeah. basically called like Mr. H Reviews, and he's on YouTube and he does these videos. But I've watched a couple of his videos in the past. So for example, I've watched one where he's talked about the new Terminator, I was about to say the Twist of Fate. It's not the Hardy Boys, something Fate, anyways. And I remember watching it and then seeing the film after, and the majority of the stuff that he said was nail on the head accurate. Like it was,
oh, really?
He was told from a test screen and something that would happen, and when he'd done the video, basically everything that he said the film was going to be, the film was. Although he sort of slated the film, and then when I watched the new Terminator, I actually think it's decent. And so I was like, watched the full video because I can't help myself. Right, I'm so yeah. like, I just indulge in all this information. Like, well, if he knows, I need to know, you know what I mean? And
yes,
I'm obviously not going to pass any information out over this because I don't want to ruin discretion. So me and you need to speak after if you want to know. But
yeah, just inbox me, hon.
Yeah, slide into my DM. But from what I had sort of gathered, I am really, really effing on it. Like, it's in some stages, it's almost like right there next to like Texas Chainsaw 3D and some of the ridiculousness of it all. So I'm nervous.
Do we think that like this franchise is cursed?
Yes, I do.
Like, can someone else get involved that we know would like at least do a decent job? I mean,
well, Fede Alvarez, who directed the remake of Evil Dead and on Don't Breathe, he's the one that's involved. He's the one that's like producing it or at least co-directing it. And that's why I'm nervous, because he says all these things about how violent and intense it is. But from the sounds of it, it sounds dumb as fuck. Pardon my French.
No, I won't pardon your French. I'm not really that jazzed about it anyway. So like, I'm not getting my hopes up because it's not the best franchise.
Mm. And see, I like Texas Chainsaw 3D, and obviously, as you saw,
yeah, we know you do. It. Like,
yeah, I never stopped declaring it.
You but like a lot of shit. Like, we get it.
I don't understand why. Don't start. Where's my poster? Bitch. I don't understand how a man who wears people's faces and like has a chainsaw is so hard to get right. Like, surely that just writes itself, but you know,
I don't know. Do you think people are just into like too intimidated by the franchise, or I don't know.
Well, one of the main points anyway, which I think is no real spoiler to anyone, is that like they're so obviously blatantly copying the new Halloween. They're like, Sally hears over the radio that kids are in danger, and all of a sudden she's a badass with all these weapons and comes to see if that's the sort of thing that's going down, you know. And I'm like,
it's definitely weak at best, because it's essentially just they're just copying the Halloween story. But if you think about it, I don't know if the franchise of Leatherface has like would have that effect. Like, I don't know if
no, if you're you right.
Go, I don't know. I don't know. It just
it doesn't need that. That's not what it's about. It's about him and his jacked up family doing crazy shit to people. It's not about some woman coming to save the day. He's in 1974 was nearly chap lover.
Exactly. And speaking of slashers, how about the news of Slasher season 4 coming out?
Ooh, I love.
So pleased because we get another. I mean, I'm hoping they're going to be like just a Canadian version of AHS and just keep pumping out season after season because the fans go crazy for it and it's in high demand. So just keep delivering. I mean, I'll happily take it whichever way they want to give it, just because we know from the title and how they do it and how they make it that we're at least going to get like a slasher in some way, shape, or form. You know, they might have some funky ideas. They might have some funky ideas from time to time, but at least we're going to get something good.
Yeah, I mean, a TV series, anthology TV series, where every season is a brand new reason, brand new throwback to 80s and late 90s slashers of like, someone's got a reason to be fucking all these people up and just watch people die. I mean, that is just the most perfect excuse for a TV series. And I think
exactly
slasher is
thebomb.com,
thebomb.com.org.uk, and also season 2 of Black Summer is coming out soon.
Ooh, baby.
Which I can't wait to get my hands on. Although I feel like not enough people talk about that. And that makes me very curious because we watched that together and my hands were wet from how intense it was. And
it was so good, so intense. I'm definitely going to have to go back and re-watch it all ahead of the new season coming out because I've definitely like let go of some stuff from that because of all the other shit that I watch. But I'm definitely excited. Definitely
excited. Yeah, we need to get into it.
And slightly off topic, but it's campus tits. But have you seen Cruella?
Yes, I have. So,
and what did you think?
The first half of Cruella is like 10 out of 10 perfection. It's drag perfection. It's like subvert expectations of what you thought the origin story was going to be.
Emma Stone was, I know she's an American actress, but she does a very good English accent. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, she was just so right. Good.
The soundtrack, the looks,
the way soundtrack. It
was filmed, amazing. But then somewhere in the middle, I don't know what. It gets a bit lost in its way. And I'm like, oh.
I think it did, you know, get a little bit like, it just kind of got away with itself a little bit. And I definitely agree. But on the whole, I thought it was great. I loved it so much.
It's so good.
Everyone in it was really good as well. And just, you know.
I just preferred it when it was presented to me. That's like fashion icon showdown, this concept of like the two of them going at each other but through fashion and how they're like looking to like screw each other over was so much more interesting to me than the actual like why she becomes Cruella. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because all that good chunk of stuff was really fun, and then because it's Disney and there has to be some kind of level of not silliness, but whimsy and fantasy about it. So I get that with the colluded backstory. But
Ace's film though, really good. Great. I didn't think it was going to be like that at all. Absolutely loved it.
Especially because I heard like some rumblings that it wasn't the best. Like when it did like the pre-showings or whatever, and I was like, oh god, I hope it's not a flop. But you know, my gay ass really enjoyed it. But I wonder if that's because it's a really gay movie.
It is so gay. Like, you know as well as I do, come Halloween, Canal Street, that gay village, everyone's going to be dressed up as Cruella. Like, remember years ago, everyone was dressed up as Harley Quinn? This is going to be the new thing.
Yeah, and Maleficent, when that was out.
Oh, they still did their own DIY duct taped fucking horn. Leave it alone. Yeah,
but I love the fact that it was such a queer movie because it had queer characters. It had the fashions, like the whole punk, 70s punk era was all sort of about like embracing queerness as well in that sort of like grungy way. And I thought it was a great film for some representation that maybe didn't jump out of the screen like, yes, like I'm gonna announce the whole thing that I'm gay or non-binary or whatever it was. But like there was some not so subtle winks and nudges to the queer community. Like
absolutely. It was just one like massive exaggerated version of like a Drag Race challenge. You know, the looks that Cruella was pulling out, she is already now a staple in fashion and like as a gay icon. And if this bitch does not, or even the costume designer needs to be nominated for an Oscar, they need to be fashion, the looks, the execution was all drag. This is going to change the face of drag forever.
I mean, every single look that Emma Thompson had as the Baroness was just like, it was just perfection. And like, she was just snatched at the waist. She just had,
some good shit.
So good.
You got me all hyped. That was good, though. I did enjoy it. I loved it. Now, let's get on to our brand new episode of the week as we take another dive back and slash it all the way back to the early noughties. Slashback. Late 90s, early noughties, that's what we'll call it. It's got the...
2000.
It's got the juices of the late 90s, but you know, the bitch is just hitting the millennium. So here we go, back with a new episode. And this week we talk about Ginger Snaps.
And for all of those of you at home that have never seen Ginger Snaps, it is about two sisters who are kind of... They're feeling their grunge fantasy. They're a bit like they're moody teens. They're into like death a lot. Yeah, they're into death, and like they talk about having a suicide pact. And then one of them gets bitten by a werewolf, and she starts to go through the change. And it's just about their story and what happens. And that's pretty much it.
It's like a werewolf movie without like ever falling into the cliches and the tropes of being a werewolf movie, you know.
But yeah, it does.
But like
all the cliches at once at the same time. I get what you're saying.
But it's also like very obviously a werewolf movie. You're very typical. Like person gets bad, person turns. Everyone person's a good person, so everyone's in peril and must not kill the werewolf because it will kill. Yeah. You know, thing. But really, the bitch wanted to die from the get go. You know?
And I have to say, like, I really, I like the message of them, you know, kind of playing with the idea of turning into a werewolf is exactly like, you know, menstruation and like girls coming into their bodies and what out and like the struggles and all that. That kind of, I like those parallels. That's kind of a smart thing to do. But other than that,
I think. This is the thing about the, and I'll pause you there before you go and slate the bitch because I can feel it in your waters.
You might be surprised.
So when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is very subtly disgusting. Like, I know, right? This was subtly, there was a point in the film, I was like, this is very subtly in reference and as a conversation about menstruation and what happens to the body. She's bleeding profusely, she's grown hair from places she shouldn't, and then you get the scene where the print or the sex health or sex ed guidance,
the counselor, person, the guidance counselor, yeah, someone, yeah,
is literally like she spells out the whole thing, and I was like, it's not really that clever when you know it doesn't feel like you're trying to be clever when there's literally a scene where he goes, if you go here, that's the woman's body. And no matter how much you bleed, it's a period. And I was like, right. And then she's horny for the rest of the film. I was like, okay. Rub it in your face, just.
I mean, every time I've watched this film, and it's been a couple throughout the years, before I watch it, I forget that I don't like really like this film that much. And then I watch it, I'm like, now I know why I don't watch this film, and it happens to me every time. Mm. I always think it's a good idea to put it on, and then I watch it. I'm like, why did I do this to myself?
On what it is specifically that you don't like, because on paper, I would have thought that you would have liked this film way more than I did. Yeah. Yeah. I thought like Ginger Snaps would be like, oh, I love them. They're both like so cool. Like, you know, the way they dress, the style, like, and the fact that it's just like the dialogue and everything, I definitely would have thought would have been fucking straight. But
no, so I think it's going to sound like I'm slating the thing because you've asked me what I don't like. So
yeah, here we go. Slate it, but you can talk about something you like later.
I will. So the writing is trash. Like it's like some, it's just some really, really bad writing, some really bad lines. Like it feels more like a Goosebumps movie than it does like a werewolf horror movie. I really like Ginger. I like everything about her from top to bottom. I like her attitude, her vibe, her outfits are on point. When she has that like that mid transformation where she's got the white hair and
there's is that when she walks through the school and all the boys
that's earlier on. I love that scene of her doing that classic slow-mo walk down the hallway because she's in like a banging outfit and she's really feeling herself. But no, that when she goes to the party at the end and she's got the white hair and like she's got the special effects on where she's like she's nearly a full wolf. Uh-huh. I dig all that. She's a really fun character. And there are some moments in it that I do actually like enjoy that make me kind of like laugh.
What about what you don't like? Come on, what else don't you like, baby?
So I don't like the character Bridgie. She really like she's so annoying, and it's that the look she has on her face the entire way through the film, like she's just one note. It's that like she reminds
me that mopey
like she's always doing that really like just the frown, and she reminds me of Violet from American Horror Story Murder House. That's the vibe, just that mopey
even the actors, monotone though, like
very similar. They're very similar.
Like, what's her name again?
Tasia Farmiga.
It's like everything she does is like she's
yeah,
and everything she does is like long thin straggly, and I'm like
her face throughout the whole film. It's as if she's like just stepped in a puddle while she's wearing socks, and she's like like Miranda Sings. That kind of like that's the kind of like.
Like she hates everyone, and there's not a reason in the world.
But it's so OT. Like there was a way of like yeah, these characters, yeah, they're moody and they're like, yeah, I'm too cool, I'm so over it. Yet you can have that vibe without. It just felt like she was just putting everything on. It was she was just a bit over the top for someone who's supposed to be like, I don't care, I'm gonna die when I want to die on my terms when I'm 16. I'm so cool, but I'm not cool, and I wear really long coats and like
really long skirts. She just dresses like Fallowfield girls. So like these girls call like Flo, and they move to Manchester and they live in the student, and all they shop at is like charity shops, and they have like super long skirts to their ankles, don't wear makeup, have these big like 10 layers of coats.
Yeah, that are all she dresses like she dresses like a teacher from like the 1960s. Like she's just like just heavy cottons and like just long skirts, and just like I'm so over everything, and like I'm gonna put in like the bare minimum. Like, yeah. I'm so cool.
I'm so cool. You're so
It's like a caricature of a moody, because obviously there are those kids who are like with that attitude, which is cool. And like, you're like, oh yeah, okay, you're too cool for school. But like, that's just them being a moody teen. This was like, obviously it's acting, I know that. It was just so over the top, but it just became just a caricature of like what a typical moody teen was like. This is very like after school special / Goosebumps situation. Like the acting is bad, really bad.
I mean, if there's one thing I can definitely agree on, it's her character. I keep calling her Bridget. She was just talk about a wet lettuce. Not a wet frowning lettuce. This lettuce was soaking in the tub for weeks, months, years. She is just the worst, undeniably the worst part about this movie. And even when she was in the like original It, oh, I feel a sneeze coming on, by the way. Sorry, everyone, it's coming. She was
right, I can edit that little sniffle out, which I will, because it was gross.
she is in like It, like in 1999, and she plays like the little girl. She plays whatever Beverly, she just loves being characters, beginning with B. She's also a bitch. She's the same in that as well. Just so mopey. Just that like sad. Nah. And like, I get the whole like suicide pact sisterhood that they've got going on. I get
you know exactly who they're supposed to be. Like, you just know who those two girls are. Like, you get it.
Yeah, like, and that's it. Like, I can see all that, but it's her as an actual character. And I'm like, you want me to root for this girl and you want me to follow her. The only reason I'm rooting for her is because I love Ginger so much that I want her to save Ginger. When realistically, I want Ginger to still be that hot, cool werewolf, but I don't want all the attention to be on Brigitte.
I know it's about them both, but like it gets to a certain point where it kind of becomes a bit more about like Brigitte. And I feel like she's not a leading lady actor slash character. Like that's, she's not the T. This should be Ginger's story and she should be the sidekick. And Ginger's great. I love Ginger as a character. I love Catherine Isabel. She's great. She's also a little scream queen herself. She's, you know, she's in Freddy versus Jason. She's in, what is it? See No Evil 2, which is, I think, the better one of the two.
Yeah, she's an American Mary, which is so good. Yep.
You know, and she's great. And she's a great actress. And Ginger's really fun. And I also, like, the mom makes me laugh at times as well, how she's, like, you think she's a certain way to start off with. And then you kind of realize as the film goes on, like, that her mom is, like, just... she's game for everything. Like, she's so down for her kids. Like, she'll be like, so I found a body in the back garden and then we're all going to leave now. So we're going to take off and I'm going to kill your dad.
I think the mom's probably the best character for me just because she is like the most fleshed out, even though she has the least screen time, because she's not this one note, oh, I hate life. Ugh, I'm so moody. Even when I turn into a werewolf, I'm still a bitch. You know what I mean? She's like this really overly sweet cookie cutter, so like squeaky queen, like Disney. And then, but you see how much she loves her daughters and like completely brushes off of how strange her behavior is. And then it's that moment there at the end that she's like, I will burn this house down. And I will kill you, dad.
With your father in it.
I will kill you, dad. And it would just be us girls. And I'm like, you know, she will do anything for her two depressed little, like, goth daughters. And I love that about her, to be fair.
Yeah, me too. I mean, what do you think of the special effects aspect? Because I
know you hit it.
It's not that I hate it, because, well, I don't like the tail situation. I mean, I didn't, like, that's just, like, stupid.
Not the fact that it's stupid.
Well, then the werewolf itself, it's so small and like teeny weeny. It looks more like a giant rat than it did a werewolf. Like, don't you expect werewolves to just be a lot bigger than what their human size?
You don't expect werewolves to be like stood on two legs, really tall.
Hench, regardless of the male or female, just like full on hench. But that was like a really skinny, teeny weeny.
I didn't mind the werewolf until a certain point. I didn't mind it when at the start Ginger gets attacked and they use it in a way where the way the editing is and the way it's shot, you don't really see it. You get glimpses, but you still get the feeling of like the gnarly scratches and the bites and the way she's bloodied. I love all that bit. And you get the Polaroid photo of like the wee white albino werewolf's face. And then it's like somewhere at the end where we're constantly seeing it. And it's like jumping about on top of tables and stuff. And then that's when the whole thing looks a bit like rubber. Looks like rubber to me.
For me, when you get to see it properly, it reminds me of The Witches, you know, the original film, The Witches. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the Grand High Witch when she turns into her like rat and her witchy, which is the like witchy rat. That's what it reminded me of the entire time. I was like, oh, this looks more like the witchy rat than it does a werewolf. So I wasn't best pleased about that. But then again, it's 2000. However, we did have, American Werewolf in London. And they did...
the, like, most bomb wolf transformation there's ever been and there ever will be ever.
Yeah.
But I do completely get what you mean. It's just, normally we're like... you know, that's not enough, give us more. And then there's times where they give us more and we're like, it's too much. And there is like I know we're greedy bottoms, we always ask for more, but there is a limit. And if you know that that little albino werewolf does not look thebomb.com, then I really yeah. would not be flaunting it around as much as you do. Like, give us more of like ginger. I could have really have just done it with ginger, as like a hand has like the claw and like the teeth and the yeah. hair. I really did not need her to turn full on werewolf bitch, werewolf fish. I don't think we need it.
Yeah, and that's definitely for me where it was a bit like Goosebumps-esque family viewing. And then even at the start where you see like the dog's dead bodies, it just looks a bit too campy and a bit like
the paw that they find in the sandbox.
Yeah, I was like,
what is that?
Yeah, it looked like a chicken bone. I was like, what is that? Yeah, it was a bit too campy, and it just took me out of it because it was like, that's clearly fake. Even though I know it's a film, and you know it's not real. However, there's a level where you're like,
you want real decapitated dogs?
Yes, I do. I would like to see real decapitated.
I do. I completely get your point. And for like, that has been a huge minus and negative for myself watching it, that towards the end, whilst the action is like hyping up, and I love when they have this scene in the house, and they're really going at it in the house. I really think the story needed that, like for a third act. But on the other hand, it's like, that's when the film gets like progressively more ridiculous, because I like the whole very obvious in your face reference to menstruation, you know. I don't mind that. I really don't mind that, but I wish they sort of like didn't take it so far. This is about ginger, and at the end of the day, we spend the last 20 minutes 30 minutes, and it's a rubber werewolf, it's not ginger. And I'm like, he is the main attraction, so I just feel a bit gooped.
Exactly. And I do feel like it was 20 minutes too long. It could have been just a tight 120 and not 148. Do you know what I mean?
It was a stretch. I do feel like I find myself really sort did. Of
yeah, and they sort really of
taken out a little.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they did stretch it out quite a bit. Yeah. Now I'm intrigued by that blonde girl who was like supposed to be like the popular cool bitch. I think she's called Trina. How she was just allowed to be in school and like have a Rottweiler with her, and why was she looking like about 35 when she should have been like 16? Who let her back into school, and why is she walking around with a Rottweiler? It didn't make any sense.
And also at the start as well, when they were sort of first introduced to her, all the girls are playing like sort of, I don't know, hockey, I don't know what you call that, and where I'm from we call it
camogie. Lacrosse, is it hockey?
Camogie. Yep. So I don't know why they're playing all this. Then Miss Soppy Guts is knocked under a dead dog, and they're all like, everyone move, there's a dead dog on the pitch. And I'm like, no one noticed there was a decapitated dog. Yous have been playing on, like, they've been stood over here having a cigarette for about 20 minutes. Yeah. And all of a sudden, whoa, 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 easy now, there's a dead dog on the pitch.
There was a line where she either called Ginger or Brigitte. She went, oh, like under breath, she's like, oh, slut bitch. And I always find those sorts of like insults really weird when someone writes, like, because in real life, no one ever puts like two of those like names together. Like, that's not a thing. You know what I mean? You'd say like, oh, you stupid bitch, or you stupid slut, or whatever. You don't say, oh, you're a slut bitch. Like, no one insults people like that. But that's when, like, the writing seems really childlike. And like, it's like, did someone who's fresh out of high school write this, but trying to put in things to make them sound older, like trying to sound cool by going, you slut bitch.
I like the dialogue. I'll be honest, I found myself like chuckling at it. And I like that sort of late 90s, even though this is the year 2000, but you get me. It's the same as Cherry Falls. That sort of time period, there's like a chunk of dialogue that's like, this idea of how teenagers in the late 90s spoke really amuses me, because it's wild gritty, or the way they speak, it's rungy. They're just like, they're always like, they have the craziest like fucking they have like the craziest ways of like insulting each other, or even the way, for example, you find out Ginger's at the dog or something, and she's like, why'd you do it? And she's like, I done it for extra credit. And you're like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, the way they speak is so absurd. Like, no one talks like that.
And there's a scene where after Ginger has sex with a boyfriend and she's now turning him into a werewolf, and Brigitte bumps into him and he's doing his change and he's like, "Oh yeah, little girl, come and get this candy. I know you want all this candy." And it's like, what? That's so disgusting. So shut disgusting. Your mouth. And then she stabs him with the little syringe and he's just like, "Okay, yeah, good day. I'm gonna go now. Bye." And you're like, oh. Just like that, you're going to go from, "Hey girl, get this candy. I know you want this candy." And you're like, shut up. Who wrote this?
Come and get your candy. Like, that's what I mean.
Candy.
The dialogue is so absurd. It's not real. That's why I enjoy it so much, because people don't speak like that unless you're Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and you're Kim Richards and you're calling someone a pig slut or a slut pig.
You're a pig. Okay,
you're
no, slut
nobody's touching you. Unless you call them a slut pig, those double-barreled insults, they don't work.
I weirdly enough, I wondered how long it would be before you would slip in Beverly Hills into this conversation. I was thinking to myself, oh, I wonder how she's getting on watching the show, because she starts from the top to bottom. And
she's getting on well.
I'm pleasantly surprised that you slipped in a reference there.
I did, and you know what? As soon as you said slut bitch, all I could think about was Kim Richards in my head called someone a pig slut, and I was like, them double barrel insults work.
And it's where her, Kim Richards. And have you seen it where her and Kyle in unison say, "You are a goddamn bitch" to Brandy in like perfect unison, like, oh,
so see, good. All them work, but for some weird reason in Ginger Snaps, that sort of dialogue does not fly.
Because kids don't talk like that. Like, kids aren't like, "Oh yeah, come on, get my candy. Yeah, you want some of this candy?"
But maybe they did in the 90s. That's why I enjoy it so much. Maybe that's what they did in the 90s. Like, no, I feel like if you had Ginger Snaps and then infused it with Kevin Williamson's Cursed, I feel like we could really have, like, a perfect combination of, like, late 90s, early 90s, like, werewolf slasher. But it's like Ginger Snaps was really missing a Kevin Williamson, you know? It's got all the ingredients to be the cult classic that it is, and it deserves it. But it just could have been elevated with a little bit of Kevin Williamson. I would
love to see what Ginger Snaps would look like made today. I would love like a reboot. I mean, maybe some point in the future, because it is a cult classic. It really is. And you can see why it's a cult classic. I mean, for all the things I don't like about it, I get why there's like a following and why it's kind of cool. But for me,
I mean, I want to put out a disclaimer that I actually really like this film, but I can be really easily led. And because this whole conversation has been dominated by what you say you don't like, all I've been talking about is shit. I've just been rolling my mouth.
You asked me and I was trying to give it some praise. You were like, "No, but tell me what you really hate about it." Yeah, so that's on you, bitch.
I could see you like ready to go. Someone was twisting the little lever in your back. You were ready to go, la, 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 la. So I was like, "Bitch, you have the floor." And I'm right there with you in the stuff that you do say, but I do think that it's just like, it does subvert expectations, I think. Like, we have this idea of, like, what a werewolf movie is. And I always think that Ginger Snaps just exists a little bit outside it. It's, like, self-aware enough, like, knowing the rules of how to kill a werewolf, whilst adding, like, a fresh twist on it, and, of course, giving us Ginger, who is.
But it's a load of shit, because, like, oh, there just happens to be, there just happens to be this other special plant, flower, root, whatever you want to call it, and it just so happens to be lying around, and that's the antidote. I'm like, no, and trying to give it, we all know, we've all heard like Wolfsbane, like that's quite like a common thing amongst vampire shows or like whatever mythology, that's something associated with werewolves. Yeah, but then trying to like, you know, sell me this new plant that can cure it. But I wasn't buying any of it because it was, what was it called? Like something like, was it like Murdoch Night or like something in the Night Garden? I don't know, whatever it was called. It was just
Can you educate anyone that might be like myself that does not know or isn't aware of what Wolfsbane is? So what is?
So Wolfsbane is essentially a plant that's grown. I don't know where it's grown. I don't want to sound stupid, but I don't believe that it's a... I don't believe that it's a real plant. However, I could be wrong, and it could be a plant that's just also in the mythology, but it's a plant that sort of like, it's used against werewolves, so it harms them, like it stings them, it burns them, kind of like holy water for vampires.
Silver bullet as well, that sort of.
Yeah, so you can put wolfsbane like in water, and it's like it can be used as a weapon against them.
Oh, see, I've always been aware of the whole silver bullet thing. Like, I watched the werewolf movie years ago, which is just called Silver Bullet, and I think maybe why I like Ginger Snaps so much is because, aside from American Werewolf in London, but again, I can't really appreciate that as like a fanatic. I can watch that and go, this is like such a good movie, but I don't like obsess over it. I think other than that, Ginger Snaps is like my favorite werewolf movie, because I really don't think there's much for us to enjoy about the werewolf subgenre. Like,
I beg to differ. Dog Soldiers is a classic, and it's so much fun. It's such a good film. I love that film.
Dog Soldiers is good, to be fair.
Full of some hot menses,
eating my word.
And that badass bitch. Like, this, you know, this, we've got all of it. Hot menses, and you know, the one we went for, which is the badass bitch. You know, she's the main attraction. Because I actually do like the mythology around werewolves. I think it's a really cool thing and a really cool aspect. I would like some more wolf-related
stuff. You know, I'm not a fan. I don't know why. I mean, there
is... one creature feature that I can really get behind is werewolves.
Well, there is one that's out recently called the Wolf of Snow Hollow or something along the lines.
I've seen it advertised.
It's supposed to be like really good, like a slasher werewolf movie.
Ooh.
I know, slasher hybrid and anything, and me and you're like on it.
Exactly. I think if we were to watch the Wes Craven edit of Cursed, that hands down, I think, would be one of our like favorite films, like in our back repertoire, like just one of our things we just get at. I'm like, this is such a good film because it's Wes Craven and it's a really camp fun thing. If it, you know. And it's there, it's somewhere in the ether, but there's no real, like, I can't find it.
It's not an official.
It's not like the Snyder Cut, which was always there, and like we've got it, you know. It's somewhere out in the universe, but not somewhere that we can actually get our hands on. So I feel like if there was the Wes Craven cut of that, we'd be all over it, but we don't have that, and Cursed
is the shambles that it is today.
It's the shambles, but it's fun because it gives you some really fun moments.
I really don't like it, but I will admit that there's like one or two scenes that is like so perfect. Of like
the scene Mia, Shannon Elizabeth, Mia,
yeah,
and
Shannon Elizabeth scene, the car park Maya, scene. Sorry. That's
yeah.
it.
I can no, and then when. It. Then when you find out Judy Greer is the wolf and she flips off the police and she watches
that
a werewolf.
That is the most ridiculous thing.
Most iconic thing about that film is the werewolf flipping off the police. It's so
you know
funny.
For a fact, that so came funny. In like that came in like the sixth reshoot. Like,
how
I think
do we know? How do we not know that wasn't Wes? Because like Wes Craven has directed some full on fantasies that like just. Think of all Nightmare on Elm Street, that whole, it's all stupid and funny, and like Freddy Krueger is the king of a witty comeback or a filthy joke, like, so
yeah, but
it wouldn't surprise me.
Craven doesn't go and direct all the other ones where like Freddy Krueger was ridiculous. Yes, the first Nightmare on Elm Street was like fun, but he was never running around flipping people off. Do not be ridiculous. That scene in Cursed is what cursed that is, like next level dumb shit.
And you have Milo Ventimiglia, who comes out as gay. I mean, what more could you want? But,
I know. I wish reality, that's what more I could want. I wish that was an actual thing. But no, I think that like werewolf films can be very hit and miss. Dog Soldiers is definitely, I think, the most enjoyable.
I don't think we have enough to be able to say that like definitely, like the hit and miss. I think we have... We have more misses than we do hits. That's why we can say that. If there was like, you know, a plethora of werewolf films, which there probably is, but they're all B movies anyway. If we had some like decent ones, we'd be saying something very different.
Yeah, well, I suppose. I just think it's going to be very hypocritical for me to say. But it's the same shit.
Do it.
Someone turns into a werewolf. Werewolf wreaks havoc. I know slasher movies are the same shit, but werewolf movies really, really, really don't steer off from that. It's the same shit. The only one sort of done different was, for me, Ginger Snaps and Dog Soldiers. Just like...
But hear me out. What if we got a feature-length film about that werewolf pack from Trick or Treat? The college girls that are all werewolves. What if we got like a feature length of that? And it was like these pack of like, of these really hot college bitches. And they're like,
they're all werewolves.
Pun intended. They're like a pack of hot bitches as well. and they're a bunch of werewolves. And you know, they're like wreaking havoc. They go from town to town because they can like stay young forever and join like different sororities and like have their way with like, they've had like different generations of people that like they fucked up and eaten.
See, like, I like that idea, but when it boils down to it, that's my least favorite of the Trick or Treat segments is the werewolf one. So if I'm going to ask for a segment from Trick or Treat to be like...
We're not talking about Trick or Treat, we're talking about werewolves, and even though that's your least favorite moment of Trick or Treat, you can't deny that, like...
It's a good one.
It's still a moment. They're all good segments, but, like, it's still... I get what you're saying. Yeah, I understand your reason behind that, but, like, they're still great, those four girls. Like, they're really hot and, like, just doing the damn thing.
But that's it. That's why, for example, that's why I love that sort of scene, because you don't really know what's happening. The characters are somewhat enjoyable. All the characters are enjoyable. The dialogue exchange between them is good and the reveal is good. I think that's why I enjoy Ginger Snaps so much, because I love, 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 love the character of Ginger. The way she is.
Love them.
Ginger, bitch. The Spice Girl and the one that snaps. I love all Gingers. And just the way she is, the way she looks, the way she acts, the way that she becomes the badass, like, werewolf, that transition for her. Take Beatrice the Beach out of it. And I think that the whole, it could just be a film on Ginger's transformation. And
yeah,
I wish it could have been that she turns the whole town and the whole town then become a pack of werewolves. That's where I would wanted it to go, but instead it focuses on Beatrice.
Or she's just like, she's getting her revenge from like boys that have been dickheads to her, or like her bullies. Well, she kind of did do that. Like she unintentionally killed that blonde girl, and then she attacked some other people. But I feel like if it was her transition, and then she like went after the boys that were really horrible to her, her bullies, and then the teachers that thought she was just a dropout and didn't really care, like the teacher that she killed. If it was more about like that sort of, she was like just getting her own back or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like loses control a bit and like goes after like one of her friends or like her sister's boyfriend or whatever. But you know,
of course, like that's it. And like, there could have been so much more to say if the film was sort of based around then, once she's like horned up and she's like changing, yeah, her obsession with having to put her stamp and change like every man or woman that she could. And like, I feel like it would have like something deeper to say other than on the surface, warning, this is about periods. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, very, like, it could have been more interesting. And it does, I like the sort of parallels that it has to Jennifer's Body. Jennifer's Body,
yes,
definitely, yes, looked at this. And
I was just thinking at the same.
It's like, it's a modern revamp, essentially. And that's why I think, I used to not really like Jennifer's Body, but for the podcast and watching it recently, like, it's actually really like low-key iconic. Like,
I always enjoyed it, but I know you're late to the party, but you, at least you arrived, because
yeah,
that film is the business. I'm sorry, but it really is.
Yeah, but I think like that some of the stuff that like Ginger says in exchange that she has is very similar in the way that they speak.
Yes, definitely. Body.
And that's why I like it so much, because I never used to like Ginger's munch. I never like it as much. And now I'm like, I enjoy it because it's very camp. I can see gays really holding it to like a high standard, you know what I mean? I can see,
well, I can see Jennifer. Yeah, I can definitely see why the gays love both these films, because they are cult classics, and they probably did better years after they were actually out. But I would like to have seen the scenes where Ginger killed people or attacked people. I would have actually liked to have seen them, because we just got sort of like flashes of her killing people, whatever. And I would have, yeah, would much rather enjoyed her, you know, fuck people up. Like when she drags what's the guy Sam out of the cupboard, and he's got the, you know, she drags him out, she just hear him mm-hmm. like being ragged around. I would have liked to have seen him like get fucked up.
Yeah, we need to start canceling stuff that matters. Like cancel horror films not showing you someone's death scene. Let's cancel that. Let's really, because we're watching a horror movie, we're sitting around for a while, listening to dialogue, watching exchanges. We get the intensity and the build-up, and then you cut away to nothing. You're taking the good stuff out and then replacing it with a rubber werewolf.
Yeah, because so, I don't want to see a close-up of Bridget's face while your main man is getting, like, ragged around and smashed around a room. You can hear bangs and he's screaming and whatever. And I'm like, I don't want to see Bridget's face. I want to see him getting flung around that room. Like, come on. Like,
we've seen enough something. Of Bridget's face.
Oh, because it's... I'd say about 60% of this film is Bridget's face.
Anyone that's listening, you better watch this episode on YouTube because the face is good.
And then the 40% is, you know, Ginger's period.
I mean, there's your art right there. We wouldn't want to see that. I will say, though, my favorite death in the movie is of Miss Bully, Fuzzy Hair Bully. Because again, it's just, it does not go any way that you think it's going to go. And then she ends up dying purely by accident.
Yeah.
Flipping, knocking her head out. And then when her mom comes in, it's a nice cover up because we get like such an amazing credit scene where it's all them like finding this homemade video they've done of all these different ways that they have like killed themselves or been murdered on a compilation. And then by the time that she dies, all Ginger does is just get in the floor, roll about in her blood, and it's covered up like that. And then the whole, like, her in the freezer. I loved all of that bit.
And then when they snapped her fingers off. But what did take me out was, like, these two... Because you see them both, like, dragging her body out into the back garden. I'm like, so you're going to bury her in your back garden? That's, like, that's not the smartest move. And also, there's no way those two were able to move that body in the quick change they had in the kitchen when their parents walked in to when they were trying to drag the body out to the garden. They could barely carry her.
Uh-huh. So, and then like
you were trying to fool me into thinking they were like super strong, like superheroes.
You can get bit by a werewolf and turn into one, but don't you dare try and tell me that you can drag her from A to B in that time. I do agree with you though, the mom was coming up beep beep and her car was literally
keys were in the door.
Yeah, and she literally just falls and hits her head. She turns around and Ginger's there going,
it's like, where's all the milk? Like, how did you clean up all that milk? Like,
oh my god, that's right, the milk. Because I remember thinking of what a disgusting consistency and blend that milk made.
It was cool though, when they was doing the blood was swirling into the milk. That was really like the little trickle was really cool.
It made me think of like creamy blood. I was like, ooh. Now tell me this, would you be inclined to go and watch Ginger Snaps Back, and then Ginger Snaps Back the beginning?
Ginger Snaps Back again.
Ginger Snaps, get Susan back in the house.
Ginger Snaps Back in two. No, I'm not. I'm not interested because the second one is all about Bridget, and I don't care about Bridget. But I do know that Catherine Isabel.
What's the second one about?
So the second one is it follows Bridget now being a werewolf and what she's got to deal with. But then Catherine Isabel is also in it. I don't know how much is in it because we saw her die, you know, which was bullshit. She should not have died. Like she should not. Like it was. She didn't have to die. I mean, she's only going to be a werewolf. How many days? What is it? 1 or 3 days out of the year? Because when it's the full moon, right? So.
Oh shit! Let her love. Jesus.
Exactly. Like she was
her love.
This was her first transition. So like, just, you know, help her out. Lock her up. Knock her out.
Exactly. Tie her.
Chain the bitch. Yeah. Just put a collar on her and off you go.
For a wee walkies around the park.
Yeah. Just say, I've got a new dog.
An albino pet. I know that the third one's like Ginger Snaps Back the beginning. And it's like, they go back to like 16... something, like 16
seconds before she turned into a werewolf. What? Like, The beginning of what? The beginning of time?
It's a story when they go back, like back.
They go back in time. Like they're time traveling werewolves.
Yeah, they're like back in like Roman days.
Well, that sounds stupid. So tell me this. How much do we think Bridget is in love with Ginger? Because there seems to be a really weird like line that she crosses where it's a bit like incesty, I feel, on Bridget's part. Like the scene where she pierces her belly button seems to be just a little bit too on the sexual side for me and having two sisters. What do you think?
I get your point, but it's like... Because I've seen it in person, like two of my best friends that are sisters are very like that. They're so close and like they've always just had each other for like years and years. They're so close that they would do stuff like that. So to me, it was like I wasn't like blinking an eyelid at it. Although that Brigitte bitch, I was looking at her and I was like, you're definitely a lesbian.
Or you know, she just really loves her sister.
Loves her sister.
I just got the vibe that like the reason why she was so pissed off throughout the whole thing with Ginger every single time that if Ginger went off with anyone was because, oh, you're in love with your sister because you've got this really weird attachment to her that if she's not with you 24/7, your frown gets like, there's like 17 more lines appear in your frown because somehow your face can do that.
It's definitely because like Ginger is the one with the personality. Ginger would be the more sociable out of two very unsociable people. So when you sort of snip that one away, Bridget's just sort of left defenseless and left like without anyone. So she just claws, pardon the pun, she just really claws after Ginger, which I'm like, I feel sorry for. But with the whole like suicide pact and all at the start, we sort of like kind of get that impression, don't we? That neither of them can exist independently. They can't exist without each other.
Yeah.
Yet when Ginger has this awakening, she realizes that like having her little sister around when she's trying to get boned is really weird. You know, and I'm like, Bridget, now's your time, baby. Get going. Scram.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of like inappropriate stuff to like with their relationship that they do a lot of things that just it oversteps a lot of boundaries. And you're like, maybe you two should like take a minute and maybe should have like separate bedrooms for a minute because this suicide pact is really weird because it's not as if like I get like their whole like outcast thing in school. They're kind of like they're on their own. They're a bit grungy, but at least like they've got themselves. It just I don't know if it kind of feels like. On the surface anyway, that there's nothing really in their lives that's going on that would make them kind of not make them but kind of like put them in this sort of like position of feeling like they feel because there's nothing traumatic going on at home, you know what I mean? The show in the film, like they come from like, you know, the parents still together, they might not get along or like each other, but they're still together. There's not a lot of like turmoil in the house. There's a bit of like bullying at school, but it's nothing to the point of it being really traumatic to kind of make them feel like they want to have a suicide. Do you know what I mean? It's like that. I think that's more with the writing. Like they've written these two characters that are such a parody of this type of teenager that it just kind of, it becomes a bit like,
I like the fact that because we see that they get bullied, but they don't really because they bring it on themselves. They stand there. One girl overhears them, like they're being left alone until Bridget is talking about one of them being like a cum dump and how if you like split her stomach open, like all the semen would pump out of her. And her friend overhears that and that obviously starts it because even before when they're in class, after they show the reel of all these murders, the whole class cheers. So it's not even like they're being bullied. And then obviously when you look back, their mom is super loving, their dad's fine, they're completely fine. It's the fact that they're the way they are, it's how they feel completely. And that's why I think it's refreshing because it's not like, oh, she's emo or goth because X, Y, or Z has happened there and she's an outcast. They're just very like that because they're like that and that's just the way they are. And anything that they get like negative, like the bullying or anything bad that happens to them is all self-inflicted. They bring all that shit onto them. And I sort of like that it's not this like, oh, I'm really depressed emo girl because, and I'm really suicidal because so much bad stuff's happened. You actually see that they come from a loving family, really loving family, like good home, good money. And like, they're in a school where like people leave them alone, but they're the ones that just need to be causing issues, you know?
Yeah, it's like
they're trying to be...
They're trying so hard to be dicks for no reason. Like they're really trying to be something that they're really not. But then because they're trying to be something they're not, they end up being something that they're trying not to be.
Exactly. And then when they become the one thing that they didn't want to be, and the one thing that they wanted to be, they don't want to be it, you know? And then Ginger becomes that boy sexually awakened goddess. And she loves it. And then Bridget doesn't like it because she's all alone. But in theory, this whole act and get up that she has is all about being alone. It's all about...
And also, like, how pissed would you be if, like, you just got on your period for the first time and it seems like your little sister has, like, a massive issue with it? And I'd be like, I didn't ask for it to happen right now. And why are you getting mad at me for having a period when it's going to happen to you any minute now? Like, that's, I thought that was a really weird choice to go for. Like, she was just, Bridget seemed to be really angry at Ginger for daring to have a period. And you're like, really? You're going to get pissed off because she's finally got a period? That's really weird.
And then also, I don't know what time the cycle starts for females, but I thought it was earlier than 17 and 16. I mean, all the girls I know from where I'm from are like all must have been early bloomers.
It must be something in the Irish water.
It's something in the Irish water these girls develop when they're like 10.
No, it's more common from like what between the ages of like what, I don't know, 12 and 14, I think, like for puberty. But there are some late bloomers.
Late bloomers out there, Bridget. Yeah, Bridget and Ginger.
I don't think anyone like past the age of 60. I don't know. I imagine
never had one, have we?
No, I imagine there are people out there who haven't, you know, and they're older than 16. But for the most part, 16's quite late.
Yeah, and I will say, and like one of the final notes is that this movie has made me really feel sorry for females. That scene where they discussed
what happened. You didn't feel sorry for them beforehand?
Of course I did. But like, that was the way that the guidance counselor really in depth describes what you'll be feeling when you feel it. And they're like this, she'll be like, you will feel intense cramps. And she discusses like the thickness of the blood, the color of the fluid. And she's like, this will happen every single month for 33 years. And that's it. And I was like, oh, ladies. For ladies, you know, we get it so easy.
And for some people, like cramps can be something that can make you like literally not be able to walk. Like it's that painful. Yeah. It can really affect people in so many different ways.
And here we are, the attitude of a female and the body of a male.
That's one thing that girls go through that I'm like, oh, I don't know how you do it. Like, tolerate some of the bullshit. And the fact that, like, I'm pretty sure they've scrapped or they're going to scrap the pink tax in the UK. But, like, the fact that, like, you were taxed on your bodily function, it's, like, so gross and weird to me. Because if it was men that had periods, no way would there be tax on, like...
No way.
On, like, tampons or whatever.
We here at Spill and Guts are... pro-feminism, as you can tell. Give us your periods.
Pro-vagina.
Yeah. Pro-vagina. We're not
those gays that are like, ooh, vagina.
Ooh, I know, actually.
Those people make me feel like so sick. Like, I just feel it's just this so
is,
gross.
I read somewhere on Twitter, and this is disgusting, and it was from this gay guy, and he was just so flamboyant. And he said, a vagina looks like a bomb has went off in a meat factory, and I... was nearly sick, and I was like, that is such a horrible way to look at it. A bomb has went off in a meat factory.
But I don't get what you gain from like it, but it doesn't. I mean, it's probably
to like one of those gays that thinks vaginas are so disgusting. That's what it looks like to him. And I know when I say to him, grow up.
Yeah, because you literally grow up, because like you've like I just don't like when gays go off on vaginas. You're like, what did a vagina ever do to you? You're like, if you what did it ever do to you? I mean, well, it gave birth.
You came out of one, didn't
like,
you?
Exactly. Like,
and please, everyone, before you start slandering off vaginas, have one good hard look at a penis and come back to me, and you tell me which one's ugly. Okay.
Exactly.
So on that lovely note, please do give me the final, on that lovely note about genitalia, please do give me your final axe wound and let me know your verdict on ginger snaps, baby.
Ginger snaps. Overall, there's some really good moments, some like iconic scenes. Ginger is the best thing about this film for me. She just sets the whole tone for the whole film. She's great. The writing for me is real suspect for the most part. I'm just like, who wrote this? And are they still writing? Because I don't think they should be. and it just doesn't really do it for me. And it's a bit long. So for that, I give it a 4 out of 10.
Boo! Hey, each of the
us. Boo you!
Boo you! I really enjoy it. I think it's a fresh interpretation on what I would have thought would be somewhat of a dead end subgenre. I really like the dynamic between the sisters, and I like the reason, you know, who they are, why they are, and the sort of dynamic that is, and how that can subvert expectations. I do admit a lot of it is shoddy as hell. I'm not the biggest fan of the effects and all that, but listen, I will always go back to it. It will always low-key remind me of childhood when it used to be on TV. So for that, I'd give Ginger Snaps 7 axe wounds out of 10.
Generous. That is very generous.
Generous, but I'm feeling very generous today.
I mean, yeah, that's very, very, yeah, you are. Must be in a very generous mood. I will say, I thought the shot where Ginger's like got slashed and ripped by the...
And she's covered in blood.
She's got the gash. That's so good. I thought when the teacher, he's killed and he's got the big gash on his head, I thought they're really cool special effects. And then you see like this puppeteered, skinny, like grayish werewolf. And you're like, okay,
that's all the budget went into the slice marks.
And like Ginger's new face when she gets the white hair and like the vampire
Halloween costume sorted. Yeah,
like, she gets the Buffy the Vampire Slayer like eyebrows.
She's got Buffy face. She's got Buffy face.
Yeah.
When I was watching that, I was like, I really, really, really want to dress as Ginger, like my transformation for Halloween. I think that would be so fierce. That would be fierce. Just when I need an excuse to dress up like a woman again.
Well, I mean, the last time you did it was it last year with the 80s slasher babe? Was that the last year?
Yeah, that was Halloween 2019, which feels like...
Yeah, and obviously we missed 2020 because of the pandemic, so you didn't really have a chance to dress up. But 2021, this could be your year to go as Ginger.
This could be it. Here we go. Roll up, bitch.
Now you've said it, and if you don't do it, you'll look like a real fool.
Well, it's either that or Laurie Strode.
Which one?
I'm going to go as Laurie Strode if Luke...
No, which Laurie Strode?
Yeah, no, but if Luke goes as Michael Myers, I will go as Laurie Strode. So if he wants to get the normal mask...
But which Laurie Strode?
Yeah, if he gets the normal mask, I'll be a 1978 person.
I don't mind it. I'm winding you up.
I know, and it works.
You're taking the bet.
But if he gets the old mask.
But which Laurie Strode, though? Which one are you doing?
Which one? I'm going as the HTO version when she has that, like, can I talk to your manager cut? That's the one I'm going for.
Yeah. Well, I like the fashions in H2O, but I like how badass she is in the new Halloween. So,
of course. But I don't want to dress as an old lady. The last time I went to Canal Street and my boyfriend was dressed up as a dead rugby player and I was dressed up as a dead 80s like slasher victim, everyone was looking at us like, so I really don't want to enter again. I'm dressed as an old woman. Got myself some slack. What can you do?
Well, since I started my when you did the slashers, the 80s like slasher victim, I did Casey Becker, and I want to continue my Scream theme. So I'm thinking this year I go as Cece Cooper from Scream 2. And then the year after I go as Jennifer Jolie from Scream 3.
Mm-hmm. And then the year after that, you have to go as Kirby.
100%. And then whoever the best one out of Scream, the new Scream's gonna be. I don't know who it's gonna be, but
exactly. Oh my god, we have that.
Maybe I'll go as Gale for that one because I've not done a Gale.
Ah, yes.
Speaking of which, I forgot to send you a picture when I was at my mum's. My mum has got this like light yellow handbag that looks exactly like and I kept wanting to take a picture of it every single time I saw
Gale
it.
Gale has on Scream 3.
Yeah. Yeah, of every course. Time I saw it, I was like, that's Gale's bag.
It's like, how gay are you? You're gonna steal from one of them. We know as soon as you say a colored handbag, which handbag Gale has on yes. What Scream movie and I'm watching, that's a gamer.
Yeah.
That's gay as hell. That's
how you know you are a true gay and a true that's Scream fan.
True.
Cause I didn't have to even really get that sentence.
And exactly what you talked about, the exact moment.
As soon as I said bag, you were like, I know where this is going.
The malicious hatred of it all, I cannot.
I'll tell you what, I'll ask my mum, I was like, Mum, can you, weird question, but can you just take a picture of that bag for me? And I'll tell you why later on.
Please send it to me, because I am so interested.
Because seriously, every time I saw it, I was like, oh, Gale Weathers.
That Gale bag, bitch.
Gale Baggage. And on that note, please go over and follow us on Instagram at
Spelling Gods Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter at
Spelling Gods Pod.
Find us on Facebook at
Spelling Gods Podcast.
And send us an email at
Spelling Gods Podcast at outlook.com.
And if you want to send us a I already did the email thing, but yeah, please like, subscribe. Yeah, if you want subscribe. To
send us something on a something, you have...
Yeah, no, I just got distracted by Scout trying to get some love in from me. It just distracted me a minute.
She's a needy bitch.
She's a needy bitch.
She calls the shots when we're leaving, when this is done.
She's like, I'm over this shit, Miss Thing, like, wrap this up. I don't know what you want. here we go. He's making an appearance. But on that note, it's my bedtime apparently, says Scout.
Yeah. Listen, good night.
And
deuces.
Bye.